Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have David Lask. David is the GM of Tala. David, welcome to the show.
Hello Mustafa, thank you very much for having me here. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
So can you give us a brief background about yourself, what you've been doing prior to Tala?
Yeah, of course. So I've always tried to be an entrepreneur. Fresh out of college, I started my first company. Back then, I saw a very interesting opportunity, in the logistics, the 3PL, the third party logistics sector here in Mexico, in which a lot of the users of these kind of services had all their products, set up for delivery and logistics with these parties, but they always had problems, with their documentation related to exporting or importing stuff here in Mexico. So my first company was focused on how to manage, that documentation related to exporting or exporting here in Mexico in order for these customers to be able to have a better service. So that gladly worked out. I managed to sell the company in a couple of years, and then moved along to the corporate sector, working for a while in Banco Santander. And that's where I realized that there was a huge opportunity in the country to serve SMEs and consumers regarding financial products. Now, here in Mexico, there is still a very, very big need for financial inclusion. There's a very big need for both SMEs and consumers to have access to financial products that they need on their day-to-day basis. So moving over to the corporate sector, I understood this necessity that my country had. So I went to get an MBA to specialize in fintech in London. Once that was over, I came back to Mexico, joined the founding team of a fintech company called Visor. Their main objective was to link SMEs with banking, traditional banking factoring products, and giving them, a better service and a different way on how to evaluate their credit worthiness. Shortly after, I've stayed in the fintech sector ever since. Shortly after Visor, I opened another company called Crece, focused on SME lending, fully online. We experienced significant growth in the 4 years since the company started. And giving some changes, I left Crece, still part of the board at that company, to join Tala Mexico. In order to promote financial inclusion in the country. Tala is one of the top 50 fintechs in the world, and they're focused on consumer lending by giving small loans to a large consumer base here in Mexico, in India, in Kenya, and in Philippines, in order for them to be included into the financial system and give them these financial product options that they previously had no access to.
Got it. And how's the experience been so far? Vitala, would you like to enlighten that a bit more?
Of course. Yeah, it's been amazing. As I said, the necessity is very, very clear here in Mexico. Unfortunately, here in Mexico, we have approximately 50 banks. When you compare that to the United States, where there are more than 5,000, you can clearly see the difference. Now, these 50 banks in Mexico have focused more on the lower hanging fruits, which is more corporate finance, consumer finance as well, but focused more on payroll services and that kind, those kind of products. And they have left out a lot of the population who still up to today still use cash for a lot of their transactions, and they don't have access to these financial products. So Tala's mission is to promote this financial inclusion in Mexico and the other countries where we operate. And given the size of the opportunity, given it's still a very fragmented country, there's a huge opportunity ahead of us. And I think the growth that we've seen in the little bit under 3 years that we've been in Mexico shows that very clearly.
So now, coming in as a GM of Tala during the pandemic, especially when, the SMEs and the other sectors are going through multiple credit crunches or financial crunches, So what are the trends that you're seeing, and what is the value proposition, and how do you think, I would say mainly, let me rephrase, the acceptance of individuals in Mexico or India or other third world countries of accepting fintech? Because, you know, previously the fintech has been around for some time, but the adoption has been a challenge. But during COVID, we've seen multiple technologies picking pace. So has the fintech sector really picked up pace, and are you seeing the trend like just shortened or stuff?
Yeah, it's been very, very impressive. In all our other countries where Tala operates, but the adoption rates of financial digital products that we've seen throughout the last year. It's part of that silver lining, you know, of this terrible pandemic that we're going through. But it's been different in each one of our countries. For example, in Kenya, they've been for several decades already used to, you know, digital transactions, mainly because of M-Pesa, you know, and all that, those different products that came up in the last couple of decades. Here in Mexico, it's been a little bit different. Technology in terms of smart mode, smartphone, growth here in Mexico has been very, very impressive, but that is not necessarily related to financial products. No, so you know, the last data that I've seen is between 2012 and 2019, the use of financial, mobile financial products, you know, including wallets, including traditional banking apps, etc., has grown at least sixfold. No, which is something quite impressive. It is going in that direction, yet there is still a huge part of the population that needs to get there, and that is exactly our responsibility. You know, we've also seen throughout the last year a growth in acceptance and use of financial technology related services of over 250%. This is something that we were expecting, given, you know, the context and the difficulty to continue using financial products in a traditional way, given COVID. So it has pushed significantly the growth of the kind of products that we offer, which at the end of the day is quite a significant advantage, you know, given that what we're trying to do is still something that requires a strong adoption, particularly from the under or unbanked segments that we target. Also, we are seeing a shift in how people work, where they are, how they move around. And I think it's important to be able to adjust our product to the differences that we're seeing, at the same time, how those differences or those different behaviors are supporting what we already do.
Got it. Makes sense. So, which brings me to my next question in regards to mental health of the team, productivities of the team burnouts. These are the things that have been under debate for the last few months, because, you know, previously for some, you know, they're confined at their homes in small houses with families. Some don't have to move around because of COVID. So what step, being the GM, you know, what steps have you taken at your company, at Tala, to ensure that the teams don't get burned out and they're working more and more collaboratively?
So right at the beginning of the pandemic, we did shift in a couple of weeks, you know, into a work from home model that we previously had not done. This was obviously done due to mobility restrictions, but at the same time for to maintain, you know, the health of our team and be able to continue operations. Being a digital company, a digital first company, a technology based company, and a company that already operates in multiple geographies, and also therefore having, you know, all the people in the same place is not something that we are already used to. So that has been an advantage in terms of this shift to working from home. As I mentioned, we managed to deploy it in a couple of weeks, given that we already had part of our day-to-day operations were already done through digital channels. Now, the real difference here is the entire Mexican team cannot be at the office. No, so it's been quite a challenge, but at the same time, and the opportunity for us to consolidate the way that we had already been working. So it hasn't been that difficult in terms of how we implement it, given the nature of our company. But of course, there have been a lot of issues that we were not expecting or that we had to tackle on how people feel about working from home. So it's a huge difference, just as you can see in any team that you work with, each individual is gonna be very different from the last one. No, some people are gonna prefer to work from home and that's gonna give them more peace of mind, more productivity. Some other people would rather be around others, in order to work more efficiently. I say there's people who are in between. We also have had a lot of people who work in Tala, who perhaps live with their parents, or are not used to seeing their children all day. They usually go to school or something like that, who have repeatedly asked for a space where they could work outside of their home. Others have been due to technical issues. Maybe they don't have strong internet, therefore, they cannot perform in the way they should. So it's been a bunch of variables that we've had to deal in a very, very short time. And so far it's worked out very, very well. We are not expecting to return to our offices throughout 2021, regardless of how things play out. Hopefully by the mid this year or late this year, we are going to see a huge improvement in terms of vaccination. Therefore, it's going to be safer to move around. But still, we are not expecting to return to our offices, even though we are keeping a smaller office, for okay. people who need this kind of space throughout the week. Maybe they want to go once a week because I don't know, they're having some issues at home that are preventing them from working in a proper manner.
So which brings me to my last question, from a personal productivity point of view, what changes you've brought into your own personal life that are helping you to be much more productive as well as maybe maintain a work-life balance?
Yeah, so one of the things that I see with this shift that we're seeing around the world in terms of being able to work from home is that a lot of technologies were already available to be able to improve this. I don't know, communications channels, how can we talk to other team members? How can we set up, project management software, all that kind of stuff that you can already use in order to improve the way you work from home. So I think that is an advantage, but in terms of personal life, one of the main factors that I see, is the ability, to work from home. Home is where you define it to be. I think that's a good example. I have a couple of coworkers. I haven't done this myself, but it's something that looks very positive and it's still a little bit dangerous due to COVID, but I think it's going to be good once it is over, which is the ability to work regardless of where you are. I think a lot of people really appreciate that. I've had a couple of people in the company have gone just to spend the next 6 months over at the beach and work from the beach, with an excellent view, to be able to control your time, to be able to move around as you wish. So I think one of the positive parts of this in terms of working from home is the ability to move around, of course, when it is safe, and work from different places at the same time. A lot of people are really appreciating that in the company, and I think it's something that's gonna stay around for a while.
Got it. David, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm pretty sure we could have talked for another, 15 to 20 minutes, but my marketing team forced me to keep all of these podcasts within 8 to 12 minutes. Thank you so much for being on the show. Take care of yourself and stay safe.
Mustafa, thank you very much for your time and very, very happy to speak with you.